So you would think that at 62 years of age, I would start being smarter, you would think. And as you get older, you're supposed to get smarter, right? Well, yesterday I was standing out in the cold rain, and the wind was blowing, and it was raining so I could watch some little kids run around and hit a ball in a soccer thing. Not too smart, are we? Tell you how this really hit me is what experience that I had there was. There was a guy who brought his little puppy there. He's a little puppy, you know, and having good. And all of a sudden, the puppy was gone. But the man's son didn't even have a coat yesterday. Most of the kids had a little coat, and he tried to put his coat on him, and the coat was too big, so he couldn't play soccer, so he took the coat off, and the little kid was shivering, and just dead. But all of a sudden, the puppy was gone, and someone had mentioned the puppy was gone. He said, yeah, I was afraid he was getting cold and wet. So they took the puppy to the car, but they kept the kid out on the soccer field. I wonder what's really happened with humanity. You know, I wondered if I'd had service outside and it was raining and stuff, how many people would actually show up for a church service. You know, we're to say that God is number one in our life, but is he really? It's easy to speak it, but where are we really at in humanity, where a soccer game is more important than a worship service? I think we have bit into the lies of Satan that tells us that religion is satisfying us, that everybody goes to heaven. You know, why did Jesus come anyway? What was the whole purpose of sending him? So that I could go to heaven? Absolutely not. It was so that I could be right with God. And heaven is just where I end up. But when we make heaven the focal point and not our sin, which is what separates us from God, then we lose the purpose of why Jesus actually came. And the whole purpose was so that we would worship God here on earth and fear him as long as we're here. Look at, if you've got your Bibles with me, in Amos chapter 11. And we also have the scriptures on the screen. There's also Bibles in the pews. Listen to what it says. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land. See, not a famine of bread or thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord. I think the famine's here. I think we're experiencing that. See, God, the Bible tells us that in the end times there's going to be a form of godliness, but there won't be any truth in it. Do we really hunger and thirst to hear from God? Are our souls so stressed that that is the most important thing in our life and that we want to guide our life by that? You see, he says there's going to come a day when you're not going to hear from me. Matter of fact, the scripture says that the Spirit of God will not always strive with man, but one day that's going to be a situation where those that, it says in Revelation, those that continue to rob and steal, let them steal and rob. And those that are righteous, let them be righteous. There's going to come a time where you just can't go to God anytime you want to. See, religion says that everybody goes to heaven. Religion says that you can have the life that you want to live and still come and worship God, when the Bible clearly says that you can only worship God in spirit and truth. And if you're born naturally dead to God and you're not spiritually alive until you're born again, then how can you worship God? So people don't like it when the Word of God's truth comes out and says, you can't worship God. You have to do it in spirit and truth, and he creates in us that spirit that allows us to go to him in purity so that we can approach a holy God, and that's through his Son. See, he doesn't just save us from our sins, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Matter of fact, if you look at the scripture, more of the scripture is written about how we're to live than about the gospel. Did you realize that? What's written there, most of the Bible, book of the Bible, is why are you acting like this? You didn't learn it this way. What's happening to you? And again, it's that battle that man has once they become children of God. And we're not all children of God, by the way. We're all creations of God. And we are a marred creation of God. You see, when sin entered in the Garden of Eden, we became spiritually dead. The Bible goes on to say that we were born dead in our trespasses of sin, that we are enemies of God. And see, because of God's great love, John 3:16 was written, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever so believed in him should not perish. And see, the focal point of that is that we should not perish. You see, because God has condemned mankind. See, there's no reason for the church to go around condemning those that have alternate lifestyles or aborting and that kind of thing. We don't condemn these folks. We pray for these folks. We don't hold up picket signs. We don't burn down their buildings. But we pray for them that God would be merciful and gracious to them and let the revelation of his son come into their life, because you can't get this by studying it. It has to be revealed to you. But we are living in a time and day where there's a famine for God's word. People aren't hungering and thirsting for truth. They want entertainment. I'm not a very elegant speaker. I don't have a lot of entertainment here. But what we do here is we worship God and we equip the saints for every good deed. That's the purpose of the church. You see, we're not a humanitarian effort. We're supposed to be a spiritual effort. It doesn't do any good to help somebody physically if you're not giving them a spiritual answer. You see, God says we're just but dust. That we're here for a little while, it's like a vapor, and then we're gone. And then eternity begins. And God is more concerned about where you spend eternity than how comfortable you are here on this earth. He goes on to say, but people will stagger from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. They will go to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. There's going to become a time when you will be able not to find the word of God, but you will find a form of godliness. You see, and that's what we're in now. We're experiencing all these religious TV preachers and things that are promising wealth and prosperity and healing of the physical body. And there's nothing about sin. There's nothing about the nature that you've been born that's contrary to God. The Bible says you are born in iniquity and you're born separated from God. You don't get to make a choice. You're not born neutral. And then somehow you make a choice by, well, I've done more good than I've done bad. So, boy, guess what? I'm going to heaven. It doesn't matter how good you think I am. That doesn't decide where I go to heaven or not. That doesn't decide if I'm right with God. But it's, again, if I've been born again. If I had that supernatural experience by becoming a disciple of God and being taught by God. Listen, if you miss Sunday school, you miss an incredible lesson on being taught by God. The Bible says that those that are taught by God come to the saving knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. Period. And if you're not taught by God, if you're taught by any other means or any other man, you're not a child of God. And I know that's blunt. I know that's harsh. I know that sounds narrow-minded, but he says the road is very narrow and there's very few that are on it. We have forgotten to tell what this is all about. We have made it everything but what God wrote in his holy scriptures to tell us, to reveal to us who we are and how we stand before him and what awaits our destiny. See, he wrote this so that we would be enlightened, so we wouldn't have to suffer his wrath. That's the love of God. The love of God is not that you are healthy. The love of God is not that you have a nice job. The love of God is not all of those physical things, but it's spiritual in the fact that we do not have to suffer his wrath. But we can become his child and walk on this earth in a manner worthy of our calling. You see, it's not just saying a prayer. And okay, I'm okay with God. No, it's becoming that disciple, being taught by God. Where does faith come from? Faith comes from hearing. Where does hearing come from? From the Word of God. So it's through faith that we are born again. By becoming disciples. What's a disciple? Disciple is just someone that follows somebody's teachings. There's nothing magical about being a disciple. Moses had disciples. John the Baptist had disciples. Buddha has disciples. Muhammad has disciples. There's nothing special about being a disciple. It's just make sure if you're a disciple, you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. And therefore, when you're taught by God, he will reveal himself to you by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit's the only one who has a right to tell you about your sin. It's not the church's responsibility to tell you about your sin. It's the church's responsibility to be the light that so when you are convicted of your sin, you know where to go. That's what this is about. And we have forgot all of that. He goes on to say in that day, the beautiful virgins and the young men will faint from thirst. And those who swear by the guilt of Samaria and who say, as your God lives, O Dan, and as the way of Beersheba lives, they will fall and not rise again. So you see, they're going to, the effort is going to be put forth. But there's going to come a time in our life where it's too late. See, when we have thrown God's word out of the schools, we've thrown God's word out of workplaces, when we've thrown God's word out of all these, and we're not going to live, our government, okay, oh, well, you can't talk about government, right? Because you're supposed to separate church and state, right? Well, that's unbiblical. Did you know that? Do you know who started government? God did. You realize that? And God, and the purpose of the government was to punish wicked people, not support them, not to change the word of God. Our government is so now far from the word of God in the days that we live now that we're in trouble, folks. And the further you get from the word of God, the hand of God will come. I'm not telling you anything that's not written in the word of God. I'm telling you that if you read this, it will tell you what's going to happen. God left no surprises for his children. When you read this and you understand it, the natural man cannot understand it. And it says the natural man can't even if he wants to understand God's word because it's spiritually appraised. And things that are spiritually appraised, you have to be spiritual. Spirit. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, 2 and 3. Listen to what he says here. You shall remember all the way which your Lord God has led you in the wilderness for these 40 years. That he might humble you. So here's his chosen people, okay? They're not children of God, they're chosen people. The difference is the fact that he chose the nation of Israel to use them as an example for you and me so that when he grafts the Gentiles in, the things that they did were written in here so we wouldn't make the same mistakes. See, he used the nation of Israel to show the nature of man. They saw all the miracles of God, and yet they were always wandering from his ways, right? Always. So that's our nature. So if we don't know that that's our nature, then we can be deceived very easily by Satan, and all of a sudden we wander and we find ourselves in a place where, how did we get here? How did we wake up one morning and how did we get here? It's like a decaying tooth. Sin, it eats you up slowly. And if you're not checking, if you don't go to the dentist regularly and find that cavity before it reaches the root, the tooth can't be saved. So if I'm reading God's word and I read it in the essence of God, show me who I am. Not who my neighbor is or not all the things my neighbor's doing wrong, but show me who I am. Show me my heart. See, we don't even know our own ways according to scriptures. We don't even know it. But as we read it, Paul said, gosh, I didn't know coveting was wrong. Matter of fact, I don't know of anything that I can come up with that God is bad at me about. But you know what? I'm not the final judge. God is. So by reading God's word and staying in his word, we can have an accurate account of who we are and what we're doing in life and not listening to man and not listening to preachers. Don't listen to me either. Just because I'm up here preaching, you better check it out. You better make sure what I'm telling you is correct. You're in a Baptist church, but we don't teach Baptists. You got that? There are no denominations. There are no denominations. The reason there's denominations because man has decided, well, we think God's word says this. We think God's word says this. We think God's word says this. And now you got a smorgasbord of people picking what religion they like and where they're comfortable. Instead of thus saith the Lord. He says there's one spirit, one mind, one God. And we're supposed to all be in one accord. We have the same teacher, and that's Jesus Christ. We have the same Father, and that's God Almighty. So how do we have all these different? Do you teach your kids? You have four kids. You teach one kid it's okay to steal, and the other one not? So denominations don't exist in God's mind. You're either a child of God or you're a child of devil, and that's what the scripture says. So he humbles these people. Why did he humble them? For this reason here. God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years that he might humble you, testing you to know that in your heart whether you will keep his commandments or not. You see, we don't keep God's commandments to be saved. That's what they did in the first covenant. But because we're saved and we're children of God, we have now the power to keep his commandments. It's different. But he humbled them so that they would know and test them. God humbles us sometimes. Are we who we say we are? It's easy for me to say I'm this or say I'm that. You know, because I go to a football game doesn't make me a football player. Just because you come to church, which you shouldn't come to church, you should be the church. I always tell my congregation, those that go to church are lost. Because you're supposed to be the church. And you're supposed to gather with a purpose, and that's to worship. So you're not supposed to go to church. People that go to church aren't the church. So we're children of God and we come and worship. But God humbles us with his spirit. And we begin to read the word of God. He examines our heart. See, he looks at the heart. He doesn't look at what we do. He looks at our heart and the nature that we are. And then he reveals that nature to us. And then we see that we're undone and we're hopelessly, helplessly lost without him. You see, the reason religion is so popular is because when we died spiritually in the Garden of Eden, there was a void that was left in our life that had to be filled. It's a hunger and a thirsting of our soul that only God can fill, and that's with his presence. You see, this is not just all in word and deed, but it's a supernatural act, and we've taken the supernatural out of God. We have indoctrinated it. We have incorporated it. Religion is now a big corporation. We have said, if you want to have a Christian life, read this book. If you want to build a church, you read this book. What's wrong with this one? Can anyone tell me what's wrong with this one? And why we have to write books about this book? You know why we have to write books about this book? Because we're not children of God. And we can't understand it. We don't allow the Holy Spirit to teach it to us. We somehow have forgotten that the Holy Spirit is alive and the scriptures are sharper than a two-edged sword. It separates the bone and the marrow. It brings to light that which is in darkness. And we're born in darkness. I can't know what I am without this. I don't need some preacher to stand up here and tell me what I am and what I'm not. You need to get this book out. You need to read it. You need to teach your kids. Tell you what, folks, we live in a world today where when we don't know a boy is a boy and a girl is a girl, we have a problem. We're attacking God's creation. God said, I made a man and I made a woman. Period. Doesn't matter how you feel, that's how I made you. You see, but it's all, again, going against God's word, isn't it? Isn't that what it is? A disobedience? Our nature is to be disobedient to God's word. That's who we are. And that's what he wrote here to let us know that there's no one good, no, not one. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. He tells us this. He wants us to know this because he doesn't want us to suffer his wrath. And yet we'll do any and everything possible other than to sit down with Almighty God and say, God, I don't understand any of this, but I know that if you don't intervene in my life, I know that if you don't reveal yourself to me through your scriptures, I will die in iniquity. Show me who I am. Father, am I who I say I am? Matter of fact, the scripture even says, when Paul said, did you pass the test? Have you put yourself through the test to see if you pass the test? Because it's not the time to know you passed the test or failed the test. It's when you stand before him. Matthew chapter 7 says, many on that day will call me Lord, Lord, and not enter the kingdom of God. But wait a minute. You don't understand. I lived my whole life casting out demons in your name. I spent my whole life going on mission trips. I spent my whole life preaching from the pulpit. And the Lord says, depart from me, I never knew you. You see, we have made a religion about knowing Christ, but we haven't got the truth that he has to know us. It's not a one-way street where, oh, do you know Christ? Well, fine, you know him because it's all written about him, but does he know you? Has there been that intimate relationship? Has there been that supernatural act? Has there been that power of the Holy Spirit, the convicting power, that makes you so sorry for your sin that your soul is at unrest? And God, I gotta know. God, I gotta know. See, in verse 3, he says he humbled you and he let you be hungry. Oh, God wouldn't let us be hungry, would he? Would God let our faculties fade? Would God strict us with cancer or an accident or a financial? God wouldn't do that, would he? I beg to differ. God will do that. God will do that to get your attention. To get your attention, to humble you, so that you can know who you are and who he is, and he has your last breath in his hand. You know who gives life and death is him. You know, we worry thinking we can add another day or protect our children from what's going on in this world. The only way you can protect your kids from this world is you teach them the Word of God. I taught every one of my kids to read by reading the Word of God. They'd read See Jane Run, See Dick, See Jane Run, See, you know that book? Everybody knows about that book. But when we got done reading that book, we got this book out. They didn't understand it. They didn't know anything about it. But we read it. Our responsibility is to raise your kids up and train them up in the way of the Lord. They're not going to understand. They're not going to like it. They're going to hate it because it's going to require discipline. We love our kids, so we sent them out in 48. It was 48 degrees yesterday. And it was raining. And we wonder why our kids are sick. And then we say, God, help our kids. They got pneumonia. Help them get over this pneumonia when you caused it. What if we have lost it? As humanity, we have lost our common sense. Well, somebody said, well, we paid to be there, so maybe that's why we go. So now, from now on, everybody comes to church. It's $100 a month. So therefore, you won't miss a Sunday because you paid for it. I like that. You'll sit, and if it rains, we're going outside, and we're going to have church outside in the rain. And I better not hear, I didn't hear one person grumble yesterday. Boy, it get a little cold in here, and guess what? Preacher, it's cold in there. But they'll go out there, and they'll stand in that field soaking wet, cold, and never say a word. And we say, God is number one in our life. Yeah, right. You know, we'll call off church. We'll call off worship for anything that we can think of. Anything that comes along the way, it is not a priority in our life to worship God. He loves us. And the reason he wrote this is not to shame us, but to let us know what we're like. I didn't know what I was like until I read this. Thought I was a pretty good feller. I didn't kill nobody. But then I found out I hated somebody and I was a murderer in God's eyes. Wow. See, that's what this book tells us. It shows me my heart. It shows me what I am. And then we'll finish up real quick in John chapter 4. 13 and 14. This is where everybody knows the story about the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and Jesus went up and talked to her, and you know, he told her about her five husbands and all that kind of stuff, and she perceived he was a prophet and everything. But the most interesting thing that he told her was, I think it's right here in verse 13, it says, Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. He's talking about the physical thirst, wasn't he? You know, if I drink water, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get thirsty again. But he said, you know, I got something better than this. Folks, I'm trying to tell you, there's something better than your kids being on a soccer field on Sunday morning. There's something better for them. Most of them aren't even going to play soccer in the future. Or to get broken knees and all that kind of stuff. But we think somehow that our sports and our pleasure in our world is more important than the Word of God in their lives. That's the only thing that's going to merit anything in their life. and it's going to be for eternity. You're going to give them something that will last for eternity. Read the Word of God to them. Don't listen to your preacher. Don't listen to your teachers. Make sure you know what God is saying. There's a lot of religious things out there that are wrong. We have been allowed too long for preachers to tell us what we should believe. You see, when you read the Word of God, you don't support what you believe. You read the Word of God to find out what you're supposed to believe. Got that? You don't pick up the Word of God. That's what religious people do. You know that's what religious people do? Oh, I believe this. That guy's wrong. And he goes, and he'll find a verse. They'll take it out of context. See, I tell you, this is what I believe. I found it right there. Huh? No, a true person that's hungering and thirsting for God's Word says, God, you tell me what I'm supposed to believe. You show me. Because I'll tell you what, I have learned over the years is that this book explains itself, and I need no one to explain it to me. Now, God uses people to facilitate, but he says, Jesus is our teacher. Don't you call anybody on earth teacher. That comes right there. Don't call anybody father on earth. He said there's only one father, and that's God. And Jesus is the only one teacher. So I facilitate, and what I tell you, you better go test it out. It may have eternal consequences if you don't. It could have eternal consequences. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. Wow. Can you imagine taking a drink of water and never being thirsty again? What do you do when you're thirsty? You start searching for water, right? You see, the Word of God is the only thing that can give us that spiritual thirst again. There's an apathy. We live in the stage of apathy right now. Folks, don't be in delusional. Don't be in denial. Things are not okay. Our government's not okay. Our world is not okay. It's not okay. And it's happening just as God's Word says it's going to happen. In the last days, they're going to take this. You know, they're already changing the genders in the Word of God. They're already changing what it says. And eventually, you will not be able to get. Matter of fact, the New American Standard is the closest to the Greek manuscript, and you can hardly find that anymore because they're slowly taking out the truth. And you're not going to be able to find it. And God's warned us. He warned us. It's going to come a time you're not going to find it. And we are apathetic about it. It doesn't seem to have the priority in our life that God said it needs to have. And we wonder why we suffer what we suffer. Whoever drinks that water I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. See, he gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills the void. See, I'm not one of those, the Holy Spirit doesn't make you go on a stage like this. I saw a video the other day, and they were, I'm not making fun of them, but I'm just, well, that's what they were doing. If somebody came in and saw all these people, if y'all were all doing this today, and doing all kinds of funky stuff, they come in and say, man, these people are mad. I don't want what they got. The Holy Spirit calms you down. Doesn't make you jump over pews. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you fall down. He picks you up. And he fills that void in your life. So you don't go searching after all these other things that we think the world can give us. See, God created us. He made us beings to be worshiping him, true worshipers of God. And it says in his book that to be a true worshiper and to not worship in vain, you have to be born again by the Spirit of God and become spiritual. You see, the spiritual man appraises all things. The natural man, it's all foolishness to him. It makes no sense because they're perishing. And the last thing that God wants to see is anyone perishing, because he says in his word that he is slow about coming. See, people say, oh, Can't wait till Jesus comes. Well, that's kind of one of those paradox. I'm excited for him to come, but it's going to be a sad day for some when he comes. Because do we understand that eternity lasts forever? I don't think we do. I don't think we realize, because it's out of sight, out of mind, and as long as we believe in religion that, hey, they're all in a better place. Well, guess what? If they're not children of God, they're not in a better place. See, we use that to help us get through life. And then it can deceive us into knowing that, depart from me, I never knew you. See, I used to be that guy. I used to be that religious guy. And God saved me from religion. And his word began to speak to me. I became his disciple. I read the word of God. And he opened my eyes to what I was. And I was hopeless and helpless. And I knew that I couldn't do anything about the state that I was in. And then one afternoon, he quietly whispered in my ear, "You've got me in your head, but you don't have me in your heart. I want to be your Savior." You see, it's not about accepting Christ. See, that's the other fallacy about religion. Have you accepted Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? Nowhere in the Scripture can I find that. Can you find that? Have you ever found that? Think about it. Have you ever read that in Scripture where it says you're to accept Christ as your personal Savior? It's not there. It's not in there. You can accept him all day long, but if he doesn't give it to you, how can you accept it? Number one. And number two, it's all about receiving. See, Paul says, well, when you believed, did you receive? And they said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. So Paul prayed for them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Wow. See, those are the things that are left out in religion that people don't even know about. Oh, if I just believe, then I'm okay. Well, it says that the demons even believe, and they shudder at who Jesus Christ is. And where's our fear of God? I don't know. We shake our fist at him. We shake our fist at his ways. And we think he's going to bless America. That's wrong. We're wrong. We've been deceived.